from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Monday, October 31st. Coming up, there's a severe shortage of people to care for a rapidly aging population. Could career advancement be part of the solution? We'll learn more from the Trade-Offs podcast in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A lawsuit that seeks to stop mail-in ballot counting after Election Day in Illinois is still pending, even though the election is less than 2 weeks away. Alex Stegman reports.
Since 2015, mail-in ballots postmarked by Election Day can be counted up to 2 weeks later, which the state says ensures votes are counted despite potential mail delays. Several Republicans, including Congressman Mike Bost, filed suit in May. They claim the state law runs afoul of federal law that this year sets Election Day on November 8th, and the extended ballot counting will cause Bost undue financial harm. For example, he might have to hire more poll watchers. The lawsuit, still pending in federal court in Chicago, is one of dozens that were filed across the country following the 2020 presidential election, largely targeting voting procedures and ballot counting. I'm Alex Stegman.
New legislation provides a financial boost to Illinois agritourism businesses. Rogelio Scavuzzo, Associate Director of Food Systems Development for the Illinois Farm Bureau, says liability insurance is a required and rising cost in a growing field.
We also find that agritourism is the fastest growing tourism right now. So we have more and more people wanting to use this to bring the next generation onto the farm. Urban farms are using this to continue to be a successful business. If insurance is a prohibitive cost, we will not see that continue to grow, and it becomes a restriction into agriculture.
The agritourism liability tax credit returns up to $1,000 of liability insurance costs to businesses like pumpkin patches, apple orchards, corn mazes, and more. Currently, it will just apply to this year and next year. Researchers at the University of Illinois say patients with neurological ailments could get a faster diagnosis thanks to new technology. Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez has more.
The new technology can determine if a patient has multiple sclerosis or Parkinson's disease by measuring changes in their gait. That is how they walk. This method includes a digital camera and a machine learning algorithm that can identify the gaits associated with the two neurological diseases. Manuel Hernandez is a kinesiology and community health professor who led the study. He says this new technology could cut down on the wait time for a diagnosis.
The hope is then through the integration of machine learning and other techniques, we could then extract meaningful information that could then provide another useful point of information for clinicians moving forward, where they could help triage individuals who might be fitting into one category or another to be able to minimize the burden on specialists.
Hernandez says he hopes this new finding will reassure patients that they're getting treatment for their neurological conditions. I'm Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
The Illinois football team is up to number 14 in the latest Associated Press Top 25 poll released yesterday. That's after a 26-9 win at Nebraska on Saturday to improve to 7-1 this season. Illinois head coach Brett Bielema says only a few thousand tickets remain for Saturday's home game against Michigan State.
You know, if we could fill that stadium up to capacity and give our guys those last two home games, you know, that in Purdue something special, we keep saying we're going to do our part, right? And the Illinois fan base continues to keep doing their part.
The Illinois defense held Nebraska to just 60 yards rushing on Saturday and forced four turnovers. The Illini lead Purdue by one game in the Big Ten's Western Division. The Boilermakers visit Champaign on November 12th. Still to come, we'll look at whether career advancement opportunities could help with the shortage of long-term care workers. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. Now it's time for a look at the latest in health policy news from Side Effects Public Media's partner, Trade-Offs.
There's a severe shortage of people to care for a rapidly aging population. Could career advancement be part of the solution? I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. About 10% of long-term care workers have left the field since COVID hit. That's tens of thousands of nursing assistants and home health aides who make up the backbone of this system. Nursing homes are turning people away, family caregivers are struggling, and patients are at risk, with one estimate suggesting we could need nearly 8 million more frontline workers by 2030. Trade-Off's producer Ryan Levy, you've zeroed in on the idea of career advancement as a possible solution to this crisis. Why?
Well, Dan, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, home health agencies, they've all struggled for decades, really, to have enough frontline staff to care for older Americans. This work is really physically and mentally demanding. It pays poorly, less than $15 an hour on average, and it's often viewed as a dead-end job. So there's this belief that giving workers opportunities to get more training and actually grow in their jobs through what are often called career ladders, that this could get more of them to stick around.
This makes some intuitive sense, right? If you can offer someone a career path with pay bumps and new interesting work, that might help keep them around. What does this look like, Ryan, in action?
So I talked with a home health agency in San Francisco called Homebridge that put one of these programs in place where aides could get additional training on mental health and substance use, and then more training on medical skills, like checking someone's blood sugar. After each training, workers got a new title, more responsibility, and a 50-cent an hour raise. Serena Maria was one of the first people to go through the program, and in 5 years, Dan, she went from a home health aide making $27,000 a year to a manager of care teams making $65,000.
It's not a job. It's not something that I need to have or need to do. It's something that I want to do. I feel like this is my career now. It has meant a total, complete change in my life.
Wow. And so the point of these programs is obviously to improve recruitment and retention. Is there any evidence, though, that it's happening?
Well, first, it's not clear actually how many of these programs are even up and running. And of the evidence that is out there, it's pretty limited. Most of the research, including on Homebridge, have been internal evaluations of one-off pilots. Now, these pilots have shown reduced turnover, eased recruitment, and even reduced emergency room visits for patients. But we need a lot more evidence, Dan, to really prove that this works.
I wonder, Ryan, if one of the reasons we aren't seeing more of these programs is the cost. I mean, training people and giving them raises is expensive. Where would the money come from here?
So that's the big question, right? I mean, advocates want employers to pay. Employers say they need more funding from the government. I talked to several state officials and employers who say they are investing in career ladders. But based on conversations with more than 24 researchers and providers, it seems many long-term care companies are not buying in on this, you know, even as employees walk out the door threatening patient care. And Dan, as you said, this problem is just getting bigger. The 65 and over crowd is growing, and the population under 65 is basically remaining flat.
Ryan Levy, thanks so much for your reporting on this.
No problem, Dan.
To hear more about efforts to turn long-term care into a long-term career, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.
Find more health news from Trade-Offs and WILL at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have dense fog this morning, otherwise cloudy skies with a chance of showers and a high of 60 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Colin Schopp, Luis Velasquez, and Dan Gorenstein. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.